It's entertaining. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you smile. Sometimes controversial, but it'll always have you coming back for more. No, it's not Trump Wales IPA. It's everyone's favourite talking shop, home of the Fox's most poorly informed pundits. Welcome to the Foss Arms, and welcome to the Leicester City Pubcast. Hello everyone, welcome to the Leicester City Pubcast, home of the 2016 Premier League champions and 2021 FA Cup winners. And I am managing to say that with a straight face, despite the total shambles at our football club tonight. In the world famous Foss Arms, we've got a table for two. It's myself and Norm. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you, Tim?
Well, just been through the mill again, I suppose. in some ways, I haven't actually, because I kind of... I don't know, but it'd be really interesting to hear how listeners are feeling, actually. But I just feel like I did my grieving after the Fulham match, and I'm getting ready for the championship now. And, you know, it was no surprise at all to me. The Liverpool, it's secretly, Norm, don't tell anyone, especially don't tell you. I actually bet against us, which I never did. I'm only a tiny little better. And listeners, don't bet. I don't bet very often. I have a tenner. But I thought, I'd bet on Brentford to beat West Ham. And I thought, might as well make it a double. Why wouldn't you make it a double? Just the Liverpool match is a foregone conclusion. And a foregone conclusion it was, Norm, was it not?
It was. I mean, I unlike you, I still cling on to hope. And it's a terrible thing, hope, isn't it? Because it keeps you there when deep down I know it's all over. But yes, the bottom line is anyone with an ounce of common sense would have known that the result on Monday was inevitable. And from my point of view, it became more inevitable when yet another one of our managers, Dean Smith, selected the incorrect team. It just drives me mad, absolutely drives me insane that the way that our hierarchy are incapable of selecting a team that might have a chance to battle and go on and win a game. Again, we've said this so many times, I'm sick of it, but to be fair to Ndidi, he actually had his best game for a while, which unfortunately doesn't say much, but... You know, why was Mendy not playing? I'd have probably played KDH as well instead of Samari. Just players that can run and battle. It's clear that this midfield of Tielemans and Samari and Ndidi doesn't work. It has been proven. Yeah. We've not been able to beat Everton. We've not been able to beat Leeds. Playing teams like Liverpool, who press hard, and you need players that are mobile, can run, and are really fit. It's blatantly obvious that that was never going to work. So as soon as I saw the team sheet, I was thinking, oh no. Now, for a few minutes, I was hopeful because, you know, the players were battling, they were trying. We had quite a bright start, given that we were playing against Liverpool, but then unfortunately it all just tapers off, and they've just not got the leaders there to keep the momentum going, and it's almost like they don't really quite realise the position we're in. It's almost like we're on a little stroll in the park, and we're mid-table and we're safe, and we just haven't got that oomph on the pitch. And the saddest thing for me was, I mean, the massive mistake from Wout Faes for the first goal. You know, you never let the ball bounce. I mean, it's just amateurish for the way we conceded that. And as soon as it went in, you just saw, didn't you, on the players' faces and their mannerisms. It was game over. And sure enough, a couple of minutes later, you know, Curtis Jones unmarked again, and of all the annoying people to score, it's him, you know, having done what he did to one of our players. And he got a bit of a reception, but of course, you know, it was then game over. I mean, flattered to deceive second half. Barnes had a nice shot, beautifully saved by Alisson, but it never ever looked like it was going to be anything other than what we expected. And whilst I'm still not at your stage, Tim, I haven't grieved. I am in the grieving process, but I do cling on to the fact that it's not over until the fat lady sings. But as that game went on, it was just, you know, the crowds turning. And whilst I understand that people get frustrated, I really, really hated the crowd singing, "We're going down." And, you know, "We're going down, we're going down." I mean, that's not going to inspire anyone. I think it's just, I know it's a bit tongue in cheek, but I actually really felt sorry for us as a club with the fans, you know, turning like that in almost it was like an ironic chant. And that's kind of hurt more than "You're not fit to wear the shirt" and things like that. So all in all, it's just another horrifying, horrifying day at the office. And of course, over the weekend, the other teams down there, obviously aside from Everton, who were playing the machine Man City, you know, again, put in fighting, spirited performances and got some deserved, like, and very, very valuable points.
Yeah, the only thing I enjoyed was our fans singing "God Save the Queen," "God Save the King," rather, which I thought was absolutely brilliant. But I just don't. I mean, the fans have had enough, haven't they? I mean, as you've mentioned, I mean, Everton fighting. I hate to say it, Forest fighting, Leeds fighting. We're just giving up. I can't blame the fans for anything. I mean, the ground emptied, didn't it? I will say, I don't think our ground empties. I can think of a number of clubs where, towards the end of a game, they are massively empty, those stadia, and generally as isn't. But I just think our fans have had enough. It's not the defeats, it's the manner of the defeats from this team.
Yeah.
It's very hard to get behind.
No, it is. It is. But I did feel the players were, I don't feel that they weren't trying. I do think they were trying, and particularly players like Vardy. I just think they've lost. They are just absolutely bereft of any ounce of confidence. You know, it'd be very interesting to see if we actually managed to score first, which I don't think we have done in the last 20 games. It'd be actually interesting to see what that would actually do for the team. But it's, I do sympathise with the fans. I'm one of them, and I kind of feel the same. I think for me, it was just the irony of it that made it worse. And I must say, at half time, it did make me smile when obviously the guns are firing the t-shirts into the crowd, and half of them are getting thrown back. I mean, I have to say that gave me a wry smile, and just like a collection on the pitch that they were then collecting again and chucking them back into the crowd.
maybe next season. Well, they've probably got a little Premier League patch on somewhere, haven't they? They'll be down the charity shop. No, there's no point spending too much time. But I do want to pick you up on something you said just before we started recording, actually, about Dean Smith, because I've been quite neutral on Dean Smith, and I'm not going to go either way. He's only here for a handful of games. He clearly can't do anything with this group of players. I'm sure most couldn't. This was the game he lost. It was a bit neutral, erring a bit towards the negative. The midfield, as you've been over already, but the substitutions, Norm. You take off Harvey Barnes. I mean, he's having everyone's having a tough night. I thought he did okay, relatively speaking. He did okay. And then he brings on Tete for Barnes. What? And then he brings on Luke Thomas instead of Christensen. Now, I mean, I don't think Christensen is necessarily going to be an awesome fullback. I can't quite make my mind up, but I'm pretty sure he's ahead of Luke Thomas in the pecking order. And you just think, wow, you're not helping yourself, are you?
No, and Daka, bless him, is also struggling immensely. So, I mean, sadly, what we're getting off the bench at the moment is players that are completely incapable of changing a game. And I'm certainly not going to blame any of this on injuries, apart from the fact that this is a time where someone like Iheanacho would be a nice player to have around the team, because, you know, we've only got Daka to bring on to partner Vardy, and it's just pathetic. It's just, it is. But I'm with you on the Smiths, on the substitutions. And I've already said the team selection. It just seems bizarre to me the way things are going. I mean, Maddison playing more out wide again than in the middle, where clearly he's going to be more influential. I mean, I thought Maddison didn't. He wasn't one of his better games either. And what I actually felt very much with him, I don't know, it'd be interesting to hear what you think about this, actually, Tim, but I really felt he felt he needed to do everything. I really got the impression that he was just trying that extra turn, that little bit too much to, you know, perhaps should have been passing a little bit earlier. And it's almost like he felt that it was all on his shoulders, thinking, like, I'm the best player in this team. It's up to me to carry us, and therefore I've got to do it all. And I thought that sort of affected his game and effectiveness a little bit.
Yeah, possibly. I don't know. I think, you know, he's probably one of a couple of players that will leave this club with my blessing, just because of what he's done. But I have to say, and I like him in the media. I think he's entertaining in the media. I think he says the right things. He tried to come out and clarify the comment about players not being hungry the previous game, but he was actually right in the first place. He shouldn't have clarified the comment. But I have to say, I think in this run that we've had, I don't think he's really done enough. And no. I know he's not got the tools around him, and maybe it is that he's playing further out wide, but I've actually been a bit disappointed with his performances overall. But, you know, maybe, again, that comes down to how he's being used. But the thing I wanted to ask you is what you said just before we started recording. You think Dean Smith's got a good chance of getting the job, don't you? I don't. Why do you?
Well, I just... because the ineptitude of Whelan and Rudkin, and I think that Smith has enough experience in the Championship and has had enough success in that division that they will look at him and think that he's quite possibly the answer. I mean, I would like to clarify that I don't think he is. I think that he's not him and Shakespeare and Terry. I don't think they have affected the team whatsoever in a positive way. You know, I think that Rodgers would be no worse off now if Rodgers had stayed. You know, that's Rodgers needed to go.
Not sure about that, but we're not doing very well, are we?
we've won one and drawn two since he arrived, haven't we? So, you know what, I don't think it's unreasonable to think that anyone could have managed that. I mean, I really do. So I'm not at all enamoured by him, but I think he's a name, and I think that Top and Susan Whelan and Rudkin will like the fact that Shakespeare's there as well, and they'll look at John Terry thinking, oh, he's a winner.
Yeah, he's not done too much for the defence, has he?
No, he's not done anything for the defence. But again, I think the defence side. I actually thought the defence he played, I don't think it's the defence that's the problem massively. I mean, it's defending. It's the defending as a team that's the issue, and the fact that the defence hasn't got cover. I think the defence he picked yesterday, when you look at that, I mean, if Soyuncu had played instead of Fass, you're looking at the best defence we would have had 2 years ago, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, that was a typical of this season, wasn't it? Get Evans back and you sort of lose with one hand what you game with the other. Although, you know, before the game, you wouldn't have thought Fass would be a disaster. But hey, ho, there's no point going around over the game anymore, is there? It's another one in the history books of this absolutely disastrous season. Folks, thank you for continuing to tune in. We're ridiculously actually got record listeners at the moment by quite a distance, which... Given that we don't publicise the show because we can't really be bothered, and that actually is why It's very good of you, because if you're passing on the word to your friends, I've no idea why you're continuing to tune in, but thanks for doing that. We had a really great email in, actually. And if you do want to email us, it's leicestercitypubcast@gmail.com. One that made us laugh out loud in the Foss Arms over the past couple of days. And I'm going to leave a couple of bits out because they're a little bit out of date now, because there was an element of hope. But it's quite an interesting one. I'll just read you a bit. It's from a guy called Jules, who is foxiled abroad somewhere. Didn't quite say where, but he just said, I think his first paragraph spot on. I'm recently new to the podcast, wanted to express my thanks for the show. Unlike so many flooding the airways, it is a casual, amateurish, and often ill-informed show. Spot on, Jules. And I think, in fact, we talk about that ourselves in the very intro to this. The team frequently interrupt each other and present poorly thought out arguments. And I love it, he says. Being overseas, it resembles the pub chat that I miss, blah blah blah. However, then he goes on to say, your comments on the pros and cons of the championship sobered me up, I'm afraid. For those of us living abroad, there are very few pros, coverage is non-existent, and there's none of the post-match and pre-match reviews on the BBC pods, but most of all, nobody knows who we are anymore. And I think that's a really good point, isn't it? It's, you know, we were talking, I think I was saying last week, Norm, this, it's a bit weird for me to say because none of us are into sort of status or ego stuff. But for me, I am for our club and our city. I really am. And, yeah. You know, that's the thing that I, you know, find really tough to deal with. And Jules, just to make you and everyone feel even worse, I had a look through the tables, Norm. And if we had lost the first game of next season, and Peterborough go up, and Stoke, Birmingham, Coventry and West Brom win their games, we would be the fifth lowest ranked Midlands side in the four divisions and only kept off fourth bottom because Notts County had been promoted. What a fall from grace. We're going to be playing Midlands football, potentially with Peterborough if they go up, but with Stoke, Birmingham, maybe not even Coventry, who could go up. I mean, that just doesn't even bear thinking about. And West Brom. So, yeah, I think that's going to be tough. And I hadn't really thought about it, Norm, from people living abroad supporting City. I mean, I've lived abroad supporting City, and it is hard. And at least in the Premier League, you get some coverage, don't you?
Yeah, you do. I can appreciate it is a challenge. But at least living abroad, you don't have to go to the game. At least living abroad, you can listen to the podcast. You can listen to us over talk each other. I mean, Jules, I mean, to be quite honest, mate, you have hit the nail on the head. I mean, obviously we don't know a huge amount about our club, but obviously the reason we do it is for our huge, huge enjoyment. And despite the fact that we are slightly amateurish, we are delighted that you're enjoying it. And I hope that maybe you could spread the word when you, who do you support? Well, I support Leicester and listen to Leicester City podcast. So perhaps it could help our club moving forward when people don't know who we are because we are in the championship. But that's why
we always have those two trophies to take with us. Right, Norm and I have had a look at, as there's only two of us in the Foss Arms tonight with our slightly gloomy pints of Trump Wales tonight, 10 reasons that we think this club is going down. So we're just going to do a quick fire between. Do you want to kick off, Norm?
Yes, I'd love to. And these are in no particular order, but I think the first one is when we won the FA Cup by missing out on the Champions League and the Champions League money, that has meant that we've not been able to recruit. And I think if we'd have qualified for the Champions League, I don't think we'd have been in this position.
It's quite interesting just on that one, because there's been a lot of lazy journalism I've heard today and yesterday around how, you know, what have Leicester got wrong? And I think, you know, even some quite well-renowned journalists just saying, oh, they just haven't invested a lot. Now, you know, when you buy footballers, you're largely not investing. You're throwing money away because they depreciate. They don't increase on balance. But, you know, Leicester's model was we sell a £50 million player a year. That's what it was. We didn't have more money than that. Top is not from Saudi Arabia and go and buy a club, or he's not from another Middle East country and go and buy a club. He's got the money that he's got, and that's it. So, I mean, I don't think that's right, actually. I think buying the wrong players has been the big thing. But we were never going to spend £500 million. But yeah, you're quite right, aren't you? If we'd have been in the Champions League, we'd have had a big chunk more.
No, I think it's not that we would have spent loads and loads of money, but what we did do for Rodgers is we had a season where we didn't sell any of our best players. You know, we moved away from our model, which was to sell a big player, reinvest it wisely, and then bring another player through and, you know, carry on like Maguire and Chilwell and Mahrez and you know, you can, the list goes on and on. And I think if we'd have been in the Champions League, the fact that we didn't sell the player would have meant that the money that we would have got from selling the player would have been there, which would have meant at the beginning of this season, we probably would have been able to invest a little bit, which ultimately it's like the knock-on effect.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, I'm going to go for the World War one because I'm not having this one left out of our 10. He should have played Soyuncu, not Amarty. This is on the premise that if we had three more points right now, if we had three more points, we'd be going into that West Ham game thinking we had a real fighting chance. I can't believe Daniel Amarty hasn't cost us 3 points. So my first one is Soyuncu and Amarty. Rodgers got it spectacularly wrong.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Whether you're looking at Soyuncu replacing Amarty or another player, I think the point here is Soyuncu should have been playing. I mean, he came back in the side and demonstrated that he's more than capable. He was committed and up for it. So find it very frustrating that clearly a personal issue could well have affected our status as a Premier League football club.
Yep. Right, your shout.
My shout. Okay.
That's for the Trump Wales as well.
You know, I never like pushing myself forward for paying for that. It's always best to be second or last in the round, isn't it, Tim? Martin Glover, so our head of recruitment. This season, he's going to be responsible for the recruitment of Southampton, who he left, went on gardening leave, was unable to sign anyone in the summer window, came to us, and then has taken us down as well. So as a head of recruitment, I'm not convinced he's any better than Kolo Touré was as a defence coach.
Yeah, I mean, what a CV Martin Glover's got. And you spot on there, because we did talk, didn't we, in the summer, and there was that, if everyone can remember back to that nightmare summer where, hold on, we haven't signed anyone. Oh, but we're waiting for this director of football who's coming riding to the rescue. Blimey, this guy has got to be absolutely awesome for us to go through the main transfer window without having a director of football in place. He's got to be absolutely awesome. Well, he brought in 3 players in the January window and he's taken us down and he's taken Southampton down. Not that awesome. Good shout, Norm. I'm going to go up a level in the organisation. In fact, I might go up 2 levels. But first of all, I'm going to go up 1 level. I'm going to say Susan Whelan. I think Susan Whelan has been an excellent CEO for Leicester City. She's been there a long time. This season, she got all the big decisions wrong. Wrong on the manager, wrong on Martin Glover, wrong on Rudkin. I mean, the television images yesterday showed at the end of the match, Top shaking his head. And Rudkin had the audacity to put his hand over, you know, like the footballers do when they're in the middle of the pitch and the cameras are all over them, they cover their mouths over.
Yeah.
He was doing it to Top. So as if like these amazing pearls of wisdom that would be coming from John Rudkin's mouth. Come on, not good enough. I mean, he's trading from past glories from years ago, but I'm afraid he's not going to be the one to sack himself. And I think Susan Whelan has had if you ally that to the financial situation that the club's got itself into, the contracts that have run thing for all these players, I think she has had a terrible 18 months.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And if you hadn't mentioned it, is what I would have mentioned as well, to be honest. Whelan and Rudkin, I think they'd kind of lumped them together. But yeah, I mean, also, I don't want to be in the least bit critical of Top. I think, but to a point, I have to be, in as much as I think that you got to admire their loyalty, the the ties and what Topham and Vichai have done and the loyalty they show. However, I think that he had to make the... I think it's Whelan that's the main issue that has selected the wrong people to move the club forward. But ultimately, Top owns the club. And I think he should probably have seen that she wasn't doing this very well and should have gone. So obviously, I think I want Top to stay, but I think the people just under him that he employs, he needs to have a look at that. And I think I could not agree more. Whelan has proven to be wonderful in the past, but need a refresh.
Well, we'll make Top number five, Norm, because I know Killer wants us to talk about this, and we will do with when he's back next week as well. But yeah, I mean, I've really thought about it. So he doesn't just live abroad. You know, he spends a lot of time a long, long way away from Leicester. And I think then, you know, in that situation, I think you probably defer more to someone that you trust rather than necessarily someone superb. So I understand to a degree why he's persevered with these people at the top of the club. But, you know, again, I go back to the same image of him shaking his head last night. I'm sorry, Top. You know, the time's come for you to answer some questions, because you can't be sitting there shaking your head thinking, why is all this going wrong? You know, and if we'd done one thing, which is the conversation with Susan Whelan to get rid of Rodgers 8 weeks earlier, at least that would have given a new manager the time. And I think that new manager at that point might not have been Dean Smith. I think we'd have had a better range of managers to choose from, certainly if you go back 3 months. And we've said this before, we were late to the party on the sack Rodgers front, but
yes.
A lot of Leicester fans had got there well ahead of us. But, you know, even 8, 10, 12 weeks earlier, I think you get a really good selection of managers then want to come to Leicester and would comfortably have saved Leicester.
Yeah.
And he's now, and the other thing, unfortunately, for Top, and I hate to say this, you know, I'm just not sure he's rich enough for the new Premier League world. I'm just not sure. You know, Forest bought 10 times as many players as we did this summer. That's a newly promoted club. So maybe that's one we'll revisit. Let me throw another one at you then. I'm going to come on with a similar one as this, so aren't you? Mendy. If Mendy had played all season instead of some collection of Samaris and Ndidis and even Tielemans at times,
yeah.
I think we'd have 3 more points.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's it beggars belief that, and this is what currently, even more than anything, is winding me up, that Mendy is not playing when he's played, he's been our best player. There is a stat on Mendy which says he's the only player in our squad that doesn't have a negative goal difference. So when he's played, we have scored 12 and conceded 12.
Right, wow.
You know, so, yeah. You know, not only can we as fans see that he puts in a shift, he's done pretty well. I mean, he makes mistakes, but goodness me, compared to the rest of the side, his mistakes have been like, you know, he's been much more of a 6.5, 7.5, 8 player than anyone else this season. And I could not agree more. And I think that Mendy is a great shout. But clearly, one of these players that managers don't like. I mean, Dean Smith's no fool, but he's not playing Mendy. It's like he's looked at Ndidi from 3 years ago, thinking, oh, I'll get a song from this guy. He's a bit taller, a bit bigger, a bit more, maybe imposes himself a bit more. But yeah, bizarre that Mendy's not played. So yeah, another player that, that vital 3 points. It'd have been a lot more than 3 points, I think, Tim, to be honest.
Yeah, agree. Go on, your shout. We're up to 6. We need 4 more. There's one I can't believe you haven't said yet. I was leaving it for you.
Oh, I'm not going to say what I think you think I'm going to say, but it is linked to this. And I think leaders, yeah. I think the loss of Schmeichel, basically. So the loss of Schmeichel, the goalkeeper, the vocal leader of the team. I think that without any doubt, had we kept Schmeichel, we would not be in this position. Well, again, we'd be at least 3 points better off.
Yeah, you called it as soon as he left, didn't you? And I have to say, at the time, I was like, yeah, okay. I mean, look, I thought he was on the wane as a player, and I think he was on the wane as a player. And I suppose in hindsight, you know, his loss of leadership was blindingly obvious. I hadn't realised what a leadership vacuum it would leave. And I'm absolutely certain I think it's probably within the reasons we're talking about. It's probably within the top three, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it, in hindsight, it was that important. What he lost as a goalkeeper would have been more than made up for with him as a leader. So yeah, I know you were early on to that one. I'm going to sort of lead in with another one from that then, because what happened as a result of that is that we gave the captaincy to Jurie, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I think that has been a big problem as well, because we gave the captaincy to a guy who, on the day we gave him the captaincy, he knew and we knew were leaving at the end of the season. And his season has been, I think, terrible. I mean, feel free to disagree. But, you know, and I'm coming off the basis of the ability that guy's got. But I would love to see his running stats in the second half of this season. I think he's been absolutely shocking. And I think, well, you know, when the fans, we were saying last week, who are they pointing at when they're saying, you're not fit to wear the shirt? I think he's right in the firing line. That level of ability, that lack of effort. I have seen so many midfielders just walk straight past him in the last few weeks. Yeah. He's not interested in tracking back. He wants to get out of the club. And Jurie, you know, you gave us, you know, which for many of us is maybe the best memory, just in terms of the specific moment of that goal. But wow, he has tarnished his legacy no end with what he's done to us this season. And I, you know, I don't want to say I don't wish him well, but there is no way I'm looking for him to get a really good move in the way that I am with Madders.
No, and I don't think he will. I think the fact that he's still here goes to show that there was no one that actually considered that he was quite at the level that he perhaps thinks he is. You know, he hasn't got, he probably hasn't got the legs and the engine to be that top midfielder, and he's certainly not put the like you say, the running stats in, certainly in the second half of this season. I've always felt, you know, we've had many conversations about Tielemans and Maddison, for instance, about whether or not, you know, which one would we rather keep, and we, you know, season on season, it's almost switched because one's been in form and the other one hasn't. I think Tielemans has always been a player that has, it's almost like he has a good season and then a bad season and a good season and a bad season, with a few thunderbolts that in between of goals, which kind of disguise the fact that he's not doing all that he should be. So yeah, I think that's another excellent shout. I mean, goodness me, if we had all these 3 points up, we will be in the Champions League, won't we?
Yeah, not far off. It wouldn't have taken an enormous amount this year, would it? I mean, it's a crazy, well, certainly to get into Europe.
No,
it's been a crazy league. Right, your shout. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think 2 to go. We've got 8.
Okay. I suppose it's kind of linked to the leaders and the loss of Schmeichel, but Danny Ward. Danny Ward not being replaced after 6 or 7 games has also cost us at least 3 points, because I'm convinced that Iverson is a better keeper. And yet again, Rodgers' stubbornness has cost us there without any doubt at all.
Yeah, just unbelievable lack of ruthlessness from Rodgers, from Mike Stow, to not be able to... it's the one position... You know, the goalies train on their own for a lot of the time. They're training with a dedicated goalkeeping coach. They're training with each other. Iverson's been on loan. He's had plenty of game time. He'll have played for the reserves as well. You've seen both of these guys. They're standing between three posts and they dive about. They catch the ball. They don't. I think we know the situation with Iverson. I think his distribution is a massive worry, by the way. But his shot stopping is absolutely outstanding. And somewhere in the middle, there's either going to be a goalkeeper there or there isn't. He is streets ahead of Danny Ward as a goalkeeper. And for no one at that on that training group to see that, from the manager through the assistants, through the goalkeeping coach is absolutely unbelievable. And I just can't, you know, the fans could see it within two or three games.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? And I do think of all the positions, it should be, it's very, very clear, isn't it? It's very clear. You very rarely get a Peter Shilton, Ray Clements situation like England had where they're alternating because they're just so even. In virtually every club, probably Chelsea's the only other one at the moment where they can't make their minds up. In every club, it's clear who the number one is. And out of those two, it was completely clear that Daniel Iverson is just in a different league to Danny Ward.
Yeah.
Such a shame. As you say, I mean, again, such an important position. Easily 3 points. I'll round it off. It's one I don't really want to criticise, actually, but now it's starting to look like an unbelievable white elephant. When we built the training ground, it was well reported to be the best training ground in world football. Well, the best training ground in world football is now going to be in the Championship. And I just can't... It's the one thing I can't get my head around. So, you know, yes, building the infrastructure. Yes, taking these loans from the banks. Yes, we're going to develop hotels. We're going to develop commercial. Yes, we're going to increase the stadium. And the first thing we're going to do is spend $100 million on a new training ground. Brilliant, Top. Love it. We're all loving it. Still love it. Why wouldn't we want that? But I don't know, Norm, whether you've had any chance to shed any light on that versus the lack of money spent on the team to potentially put us in the position that we're in. Because I could have added another 3 or 4, such as one I've been rattling on about for 2 years. We haven't bought a proper striker. You know, to have not done that, but spent 100 million, I find one of the most curious decisions of the whole lot.
Yeah, I can understand that, but it's probably perhaps these things, look, I'm not a financial expert. I think these things are perhaps funded in different, maybe in slightly different ways. And clearly we needed a new training ground. So I suppose the bottom line is when you're building something like that, 100 million is probably not that expensive. And yeah, the reason it's the most advanced is because it's the newest, isn't it? I mean, let's be clear. It's not just because we've built something that's amazing. It's because that's kind of where the technology's gone. And the next team to build a training ground, theirs will probably be even more advanced than ours. So do you think if we hadn't built it, we'd have gained 3 points, Tim?
Well, I'm guessing we might have bought a striker. Do you know what I mean? I take your point on funding sources, but I just, you know, I don't know. I know I've rattled on about that more than other Leicester fans, but it's, you know, again, one more striker gets us the 3 points.
Yeah, it does. But again, you know, if hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? You know, when this was all planned, this is a time when we were being hugely successful. And no one, including me, and including most people, would ever have dreamt. You know, if someone had given us 5,000 to 1 on getting relegated this season, I wouldn't have bet on it. I wouldn't have wasted my money.
No.
You know, and so us getting relegated this season from the position we're in is almost as, you know, I know there were some warning signs. It almost feels like the polar opposite of when we won the Premier League. So I think to criticise on trying to, you know, looking at the stadium, potential stadium expansion, and goodness knows what happens with that if we're in the Championship, and the training facilities. I suppose it's trying to make us into a club that can compete at the top of the Premier League, because we will attract players, we will generate more money ourselves, and of course that hasn't happened. We are most likely going down, and therefore it does become a bit of a white elephant, because, you know, it is a great facility for the future, but it's not when we need it most. So yeah, I think it's probably a bit harsh, but understand.
Yeah, it's like you've got a massive steak and chips in a restaurant, and you got the most beautiful garnish on it, thick cut chips, fantastic. Put the flipping steak on it, though, because you spent so much time fiddling around with the garnish.
No,
ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. But there you go, folks. That's our 10 suggestions. If you've got any others, there's a couple more shows before the end of the season, so send them into leicestercitypubcast@gmail.com. Norm and I are going to come on and just talk about Gulp Newcastle. But before we do that, we were talking, Norm, a couple of weeks ago about with Killer about are we or are we going to be the best team ever to get relegated? And we are certainly, by the way, going to have the biggest relegation bill in history in terms of wages. So that was a stat I read this week, slightly alarmingly. However, Killer, in fairness, said, no, what about that West Ham team? So I had a look into that West Ham team, and it was the West Ham team of 2003 that got relegated. Right, here you go. You can compare this with our current team. And I have to say, I was slightly shocked that this team got relegated. So David James in goal. Yeah?
Yep.
Centre-backs Christian Daly and Ian Pearce. Now, that would be an area of weakness, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
And presumably what's contributed to a lot of their issues. Full-backs, Nigel Winterburn and Glenn Johnson.
Yep.
Pretty serviceable, I think you would say. Central midfield, Carrick and Cole.
Yep.
I mean, that's an international class midfield. Wide of those two, Trevor Sinclair and Paolo Di Canio.
Yeah.
And then up top, Jermaine Defoe and Frederic Canute.
Yeah, it's a decent side, isn't it?
I think that's probably better than our current side, isn't it? I mean, you could pick some holes in our side. I think a combined 11, there's more of them in it. There's more West Ham team in it, which is a good thing, right? We're not setting another record.
Yeah, no, it is. But also, if I'm not mistaken, that is the year that West Ham went down on 42 points. So actually, the highest ever total to ever be relegated. You know,
that's good stats, even by your standards. I'm sure you're right about that. Yeah, you are right about that. I've got it in front of me. Of course, you're right about that.
Oh, yeah, obviously. And that was just like plucked out of thin air. But it's that was a great side. But we have great individual players, as did West Ham. But as a team, you know, we can never come away from the fact, you know, no one is ever too good to go down. As a team, we have not been good enough. As individuals, you would look at it and think, how on earth is that team where it is? Because, you know, frankly, apart from Wout Fast, if you look at that team that played yesterday, against Liverpool, it really wasn't that far off the teams that were finishing in the top five.
Agreed.
It was very, very close. Maybe a couple of players.
And that's what when the culture goes wrong, it envelops everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Time is getting away from us. What is it even worth talking about Newcastle? I mean, we would normally go through what team you might play, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I'm just filling another trip to the betting shop coming on.
Frankly. Well, to be honest, Tim, we know which team he's going to play. He's going to play the one that played last night, isn't he? It's just, you know,
no chance at all of KDH. He just doesn't find it. He's the obvious one to me alongside Mendy.
And he won't play Mendy. I mean, the fact he didn't bring Mendy on, you know, yes. Anyway, so I think you're right. Let's not talk in too much detail about it. Obviously, I'm looking forward to the predictor.
Well, let's come on to the predictor.
Yes, absolutely.
Strangely, Norm, you punted last week, and that punt didn't work because we didn't beat Liverpool. Killer and I thought we'd get thrashed. We did, not by the right scoreline. So leaving you on 10 with two games to go. Needs a miracle now. Killer on 13, me on 16. Killer's prediction is in, and so is mine. So shall I give you ours first?
Yes, we all know where I'm going, don't we?
Killers is 1-6, and mine is zip 6, and I am not joking. That is not for effect. That is genuinely what I think that match will end up as, and I don't think Killer was joking either.
No, I know, and obviously my head says something similar. However, like I don't want to keep referring to this word hope. Newcastle 2, Leicester. I can't believe I'm saying this. 3. Again, a pun out of utter desperation. And Leeds should have beaten them. Maybe they're falling at the right, just at the right time.
It's all coming together.
Fog of the time is all mine. Come on.
What happens if you grieve something and then it doesn't come to happen? Oh, God, goodness knows. Oh, look, let's explore that emotion in the 5,000-to-1 chance of it happening. Final thought, Norm.
Being a, I'll tell you, the final thought is, given where we are, is without the lows, you can't enjoy the highs as much. So I suppose that's kind of keeping me going to a point, knowing that as a Leicester fan, without the bad stuff, then everything, all the great things we've had recently wouldn't quite have been the same.
I totally agree with that. And I think that's where fans of the big clubs miss out. So if you're feeling fed up at the moment, just remember that. We've got to go through these to enjoy the moments that our brilliant club did have. We're all off to take the Premier League patches off our shirts, folks. And we'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed the Leicester City Pubcast, please subscribe and tell everyone about it. If you hated the Leicester City Pubcast, please keep it to yourselves. See you next week.